The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
All right, everybody. Good morning. It is Tuesday, the second day of April 2024. Glad you are here. Did everybody survive the slings and arrows of April Fool's Day? Did everybody survive the pockmarks of hail and the ravages of some of the storms yesterday? I hope you did. Hope everything's good. Happy Tuesday, and we are here. It's a strange day of weather. The storms come through, but now we have a front because it's like 60 degrees, and it's not really going to get much warmer today at all. The front will keep things suppressed, but we're not keeping any opinions suppressed around here. We invite yours at 866-660-5759, 866-660-5759. Yesterday, first day back after being away for a week, so much appreciate everybody clamoring to hop on board a number of issues that were sort of undiscussed, at least by you and me, for the week gone by. But then yesterday itself was its own talk show gift. A lot of it was sort of Easter based, coming off the Easter weekend, and it got very, very weird as the Biden White House caught holy you know what for emphasizing the trans day of visibility on Easter Sunday. People are correct that there's been a trans day of visibility on March 31st for about a decade and a half. So it's like, ooh, what fake outrage. Well, no, because even under Obama, there was a trans day of visibility that the Obama White House paid no attention to. And generally speaking, year in and year out, the Obama White House did not contort itself to kiss the ring of the trans day of visibility to the extent that the Biden White House did. Easter was weird for the Biden White House in a number of ways. Joe was up on, I guess, the Truman balcony overlooking the Easter egg roll crowd. Kids, it's funny. Somebody posted, look at this video of Joe playing with these kids, and everybody's going to say that he's out of shape and can't do anything. And he's like, behind a big beach ball. And then at one point he comes out with a super soaker and he's, squirting at kids. And the first thing I thought was, the poor guy probably thinks he's storming the beaches at Normandy. But nonetheless, before he came down to engage in a few moments of orchestrated play, there were some orchestrated comments, I guess. Maybe went off script a little bit. So the imagery, the visual, is Joe Biden standing up on the balcony of the White House speaking to the gathered crowd. And it's very cool. I've been to a couple of White House Easter egg rolls over my lifetime. It's something the public can sometimes go to. So growing up, I had a chance to take, Lord, I guess one of them was probably during the Carter administration. Anyway, though, Joe, wishing everybody a happy oyster.
And I'm coming down to do that Easter egg roll in just a minute. Thank you all so very, very much. Thanks, everybody. And by the way, say hello to Oyster Bunnies. Come on up, bunnies. Get up here so they can see you.
Say hello to the Oyster Bunnies, the Easter Bunnies, as they had previously been called. Were a couple of guys in massive rabbit suits waving to the crowd standing on either side of Joe Biden. But if that was his worst problem on Easter, it was an actual good day at the Biden White House. They were absolutely ripped for what was viewed by many as an attack on Easter. A sort of an online buddy of mine, David Marcus, who writes a lot of columns for a lot of people, New York Post, Human Events, et cetera, has a column called Biden's Push of Trans Visibility on Easter Sunday Was an Attack on Christianity. And it was comical, just comical, to see these montages of clips of the Biden protection racket across the liberal news network saying, oh, he's so devout. He's in church every Sunday. You know, when is Trump ever in church? And Trump is selling Bibles with his name on it. And Biden is the real devout guy. Biden is the real practitioner of his faith. Really? There are hypocrites in church every Sunday. And I'm not one to paint some big broad brush of hypocrisy about other people. Everybody has their own issues, and that's between them and God. But when someone is attempting to flaunt the devoutness of someone within the realm of their chosen faith, and particularly their chosen denomination, devout Catholics are not pro-abortion. Devout Catholics are not pro-abortion, and Joe Biden is. Hang on a second. I did a little bit of this. The Archbishop of Washington did a little bit of this yesterday. Let's revisit for a second. The Catholic Archbishop of Washington, Wilton Gregory, on Joe Biden.
I would say that he's very sincere about his faith.
Mm-hmm.
But like a number of Catholics, he picks and chooses dimensions of the faith to highlight while ignoring or even contradicting other parts.
Then God bless Bishop Gregory, but someone who does that is not sincere about his faith. Stop the tap dancing. And listen, clergy members are not... they're not enthusiastic about calling out public figures and saying you're a crappy Catholic. That's not what I'll leave that to the talk show hosts. But please, words have meaning. So don't literally have an actual sentence in which you describe that Joe Biden is a cafeteria Catholic, which he is, which every Democrat is. Hang on a second, because there are, which every pro-choice Democrat is. Every pro-choice Catholic, every pro-choice Catholic has a gaping hole in his devoutness. Every one of you. You got a choice to make. Be a devout Catholic, be pro-abortion. Pick it. Pick it. Can't do both.
There is a phrase that we have used in the past, a cafeteria Catholic. You choose that which is attractive and dismiss that which is challenging.
Or, as Thomas Aquinas would say, you allow your conscience to guide you.
Right? Is there something?
Oh, that's the Episcopal Bishop, Mary Booty of Washington, and God bless the Episcopalians, but wow. You let your conscience guide you. You let your conscience guide you. Your conscience is under attack from the devil every day. Your conscience, some of the most evil words that can ever be told to you are follow your heart. Some of the most unwise, unscriptural, unhinged, unwise words that can ever be told to you is follow your heart. And even follow your conscience. What is your conscience based on? If your conscience is based on whatever makes you feel good or whatever makes sense to your little tiny human pea brain against the awesomeness of God, if that's your conscience is for the birds. So just know.
He's not ordering, in your view?
Well,
Ed O'Keefe on Face the Nation.
I would say there are things, especially in terms of the life issues,
mm-hmm.
There are things that he chooses to ignore.
Thank you.
Or he uses the current situation as a political pawn rather than saying, look, my church believes this. I'm a good Catholic. I would like to believe this.
You can't do that. And again, I'm coming at this as a big fan of Bishop Gregory. You can't, you're not a good Catholic. If you're pro-abortion, you're not a good Catholic. I mean, dude, you're the bishop. I'm just a radio guy. I can figure this out. So I think he's just trying to be nice, trying to be gracious, trying to be kind, surprise the United States, trying to show some respect. But no, 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 no.
And to twist and turn some dimensions of the faith as a political advantage.
It's also possible to be a practitioner of the faith as a public leader and not require everyone that you lead in your country to be guided by all of the precepts of your faith.
No, wait, okay. God bless the Episcopalians. Marianne Booty, the Episcopal Bishop of Washington, she's right about that. When you are a religious leader, I mean, no matter what, this is what freaked everybody out about Kennedy. It's the 1960 presidential campaign, and there literally were strains of concern that wondered whether John F. Kennedy would be guided by the U.S. Constitution or by the Pope. Any president must realize that he, she, soon to be perhaps, is the president of a constitutional republic where there is religious pluralism and religious freedom and everybody can be whatever faith they wish and no one is more or less American because of what faith they are. Every president must realize that. And so far, I believe they all have. But to Bishop Buddha, that's not the issue with Joe Biden. Everybody is trying to portray Joe Biden as devout when he is not, as a good Catholic when he is not, as an obedient Catholic, which he is not, as sincere about his faith when he is not.
And in my coverage of him, it seems
that's
what
how,
he believes.
That's what I would interpret.
Your concern is that he should be more explicit in his own personal belief, which is a personal opposition to abortion. But an understanding that as a public leader...
He doesn't have a personal opposition to abortion. Are you high? Joe Biden is pro-abortion as a matter of policy. We've got so much of... So very much of this election is about just blowing away the facade of what these people say they are. Blowing away the veneer of the gaslighting that they are attempting. Yesterday, in our first day back, Mike and I talked, as we will do again today at 7:35, which I always crave, about the degree to which you start to get this rumbling of a feeling in April. And April is an interesting month because it's, here we go with various observations about the election. We're going to say, it's only April, but it is April. It's not like it's, October of last year. It's not like it's January. It's April. Then comes May and June. It comes in July, the Republican convention, the Trump coronation in Milwaukee. What a party that's going to be. And the following month, the riots of Chicago, as one presumes Joe Biden is handed the baton once again. So it's kind of go time. It's kind of crunch time. Things are beginning to crystallize. The concrete is starting to set. And so things take on a certain import. And if Americans, some of the most important Americans moving forward for these remaining months are going to be those who are neither, hardcore dyed-in-the-wool Biden supporters, hardcore dyed-in-the-wool Trump supporters. They're the folks who are just getting up this morning, just trying to go to work, trying to raise the kids, trying to buy a house, trying to do something, trying to live in a safe neighborhood, trying to figure out how many genders there are, trying to just see what the latest DEI nonsense is. And when the not as politically aligned or not as politically driven Americans, of which there are so many, so very, very many, those of us who do this for a living engaging in politics every day, engaging in broadcasting about politics and culture and issues and ideology every day. I've always made it a real important part of my job to know that even among many of you who are listening, you're just kind of checking out what's going on in the news and, you know, seeing what the talk show guy thinks and what the callers think in reply, et cetera, et cetera. And you may not be as rabidly partisan as some of the rest of us are. But you know the economy is in the crapper, and you know that crime is out of control, and you know that we live in a post-consequences America, and you know that God made men and women and nothing else. You know this. And you know that a country needs borders. Borders are kind of a good thing to have. You know these things. You folks are the voters that can turn this election. You folks are the voters who can take a look and just slide aside all of the, you know, Biden's 147 years old and Trump says crazy things and mean tweets. None of that matters to those types of voters. Does the country seem to be working? Are you better off than you were in 2019? Think about 2019. This economy was rocking and rolling. Think about what you could afford. Think about what you were doing. Not that everything was perfect, or, you know, but just please, today versus 5 years ago, which would you take? That block of voters is just going to be very, very interesting. And as I've got 15 thoughts in my head, so let me focus, and go through these very important thoughts, and then we'll branch back out into everything else and get Mike's help, as we always do, at 735. 866-660-5759. Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of this new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America, where our Constitution is honored, our schools and public spaces are safe, our elections are reliable, our borders work, where we protect the unborn, where we fight for the meaning and intent of the two genders you created, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything, and we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. It's 7:23. I would wrap my soul. It's a big birthday. I would hold my life. The great Emmylou Harris is 77, little Boulder to Birmingham. From Pieces of the Sky. Oh, you're going to get some Emmylou today. And that's not the only enormous, iconic musical birthday. You'll have another one here in just a handful of minutes as I intro Mike. So get ready for that as well. So if Easter was shoehorned into the trans day of visibility, it casts some visibility on a number of things. The Secretary of Health and Human Services is Javier Becerra. And on Easter, on March 31st, or on Easter Sunday, said, "Today, I'm thinking about our country's great transgender, non-binary, and two-spirit leaders." Two-spirit leaders? "Who epitomize resilience, progress, and joy. Transgender Day of Visibility is an opportunity to celebrate their accomplishments and double down on our commitment to their well-being." Matt Walsh replied, as he so often skillfully does, number one, trans-identified people have accomplished nothing of significance. Number two, non-binary and two-spirit are nonsense labels that mean nothing. Number three, you can't tell us that trans people will kill themselves if you misgender them, and then in the next breath insist that they epitomize resilience and joy. Number four, the only way to double down on our commitment to their well-being is tell them the truth and stop catering to their delusions. People ask, "Mark, why you talk about this stuff, you know, so often?" Because when those of us who have truth on our side, and please understand something, I know the difference between things where I have truth on my side and things where I just have my opinion. I always think my opinion's right, and so do you, by the way. But there's a difference. We're entitled to our own opinions. We're not entitled to our own facts. And when we surrender facts to people who are waging war on truth, that's how we lose the culture. So that's why some things are worth fighting for. All right, some things are worth waiting for. Just a few more minutes to our M&M experience, our visit with Mike, and let's hop into the newsroom and take our necessary trip for Nikki Whaley's update right now.
Talk to me, sister, so you can see, sister, what's going on.
What's going on? The question people ask at the beginning of every Mike and Mark segment, asked musically by the great Marvin Gaye, would have been 85 today.
His dad killed him, right?
Yeah. A lesson in life. If mom and dad are having a big fight, don't get in the middle of it, especially if dad has a gun. Marvin Gaye Sr. shot him in the chest. There was a conviction, or they were working toward a conviction for first-degree murder, but then turned dad had a brain tumor or something, so they said, let's go with involuntary manslaughter. He served 6 years, came out, died in a nursing home in 1998. Marvin Gaye's birthday.
Okay, basketball fan, tell me you watched Iowa trounce LSU last night after LSU, the players left the floor for the national anthem.
Oh, okay. Since so much attention was paid to Caitlin Clark, and I did watch the last few minutes. I was blissfully unaware of the anthem antics, but it makes me now doubly, triply glad that they lost. And I like Kim Mulkey, by the way, a huge Baylor legacy there. And so,
I liked her until she was asked about her team leaving the floor for the anthem,
in which
she said, "You know, honestly, I don't even know when the anthem was played. We kind of have a routine, and we do our routine." Let's see. She's been a coach for decades.
Yeah, I don't Most know when
people,
the anthem is.
Yeah. Yeah, they know when the anthem is played.
Of course
and they do. Iowa stood there. I mean, I'm not kidding you. It was fascinating to watch it play out on social media because when it happened before the game, everybody said, on social media at least, well, we're all Iowa fans now. Okay, so LSU, you're marching off the court because you're refusing to be present for the national anthem. And that is exactly what they did. And Kim Mulkey, who, you're right, I like her. I mean, she's feisty and fiery.
She's
and
a great they just coach did a big and hit. Has great success, however.
They did a big hit piece on her the other day in the Washington Post, and she kind of preempted that by saying they're going to do a hit piece on me. And, I mean, it was kind of scathing. I mean, she's controlling and, you know, she's tough and everything else. Anyway, turns out Caitlin Collins in Iowa beat LSU pretty handily, and a whole lot of Americans were thrilled because of the anthem antics. That feels so 2020, doesn't it?
It does, and you just turned Caitlin Clark into a CNN anchor, Caitlin Collins.
Caitlin Clark.
And for those who don't know, Caitlin Clark is the greatest women's basketball player of all time. Totally understand that and appreciate her. She scored 41 points last night. Angel Reese, this was offered up as kind of a feud, and understandably, because this was last year's women's final, Iowa and LSU, and LSU won. So this was the rematch, blah, blah, blah. And it was 94-87, Iowa won, and Caitlin Clark clearly was the superior player, clearly one of the greatest of all time in the women's basketball world. I'm going to step into this. This year's women's basketball national champions would be beaten by 60 by the worst men's college basketball team in America. It's a get. Now, and I say that not to go, ooh, nasty women's basketball. I don't like, because I do. Ditto with tennis or anything else, because actually the women's game is pretty darn entertaining. I've watched a couple of WNBA games, you know, over my life. So there is something to this, but I'm noticing an odd attempt to shoehorn the women's game into some type of equality with the men's game. Like, why don't the WNBA people make as much as the NBA? Viewership, fan base, merchandising, et cetera, et cetera. There is nothing wrong. It's not criticism of the women's game at all. And Caitlin Clark is as good as everybody says she is, and boy, does she prove it last night.
Yeah, I mean, last year or a year or so ago, somebody got harassed. Well, I think it was Brittany Griner got harassed in an airport. I think at DFW, if I'm not mistaken. And there was a national outrage automatically. Well, why don't these WNBA players fly on private jets like the WNBA stars do and all those teams do? You got a fraction of the revenue. Are you kidding me? You don't. But that's, there's a great snapshot of diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Thank you.
You know?
Exactly right.
Doesn't matter who pays for it. As long as the women are flying on private planes, just like the men are, everybody's happy. And this is the mindset of the loony left. They do this all the time. If you're a gazillion-dollar industry and you can afford to fly teams on private charter jets, you can. You can in the WNBA. They don't generate that kind of income.
Speaking of basketball and equality, there's an interesting online feud going on right now between Mark Cuban and Chris Rufo. Because Cuban came out with this, bless his heart, and I can't not like Cubes. He's a great owner and a great dude in many ways, with this mush brain thing about DEI. It's just about equality of opportunity. It's just about doing outreach and making sure everybody gets a fair shake. And that's a complete lie. Cuban's not a liar. I think he's just deluded by the aura of DEI and wanting to be nice to people. Rufo is as sharp as they come, pointing out that DEI is absolutely quotas. It's absolutely racist. It's absolutely race preferences. It's absolutely about, picking and choosing people based on irrelevancies like race and sex. And they're kind of going back and forth. And there's word that there may be some actual debate somewhere that people can attend between them on that issue. And I'd pay money for that.
Well, I always wonder about reporters not asking provocative people like Mark Cuban a simple question. Ask him about China. Ask him about China, and it's a real, he goes down a rabbit hole, man. It is bizarre. Some things are right in front of your face. I don't know why somebody doesn't ask Congressman Mike Gallagher, why are you resigning April 19th
Happened last week, didn't it? What happened when we were apart? Because you changed your Twitter handle or something. It says, looks like I need to protect myself against being misidentified as this guy. Congressman Mike Gallagher, who, what was his vote that everybody hated 3 weeks ago?
Against the impeachment of Mayorkas.
Thank you. And that was when you very, sort of tongue-in-cheek, said, listen, I'm the radio guy, Mike Gallagher. Well, that wasn't tongue-in-cheek. It was very real. You caught holy you-know-what from people who thought you were the congressman, and you almost had to get, like, armed security for a couple of days. Semi-kidding. Because it was important for people to know that you were not him. And now, all of a sudden, he resigns from Congress. It's okay if you don't want to run again. But then decides to stick around long enough and make his exit late enough that there can't be a special election to replace him.
To fill the seat. Ten days.
With this narrow margin, with this slim majority in the House.
Per Wisconsin law, if he had resigned prior to April the 9th, a special election would have been held and it would have been easily replaced with a Republican in that district.
Yep.
Instead, he's deciding to hold on for 10 more days, April 19th. In a post to Truth Social 2 days ago, Trump took aim at Congressman Gallagher, said, never forget our cowards and weaklings. Such a disgrace. He's right. I mean, and has any reporter asked Congressman Mike Gallagher, why are you waiting 10 days? Mark, the answer is real easy. Yeah. He wants to stick it to the Republican Party.
Precisely right. This is the vindictiveness of the soft GOP. I want to make like a hashtag of soft GOP, people who are technically Republicans, people like Mitch McConnell, who the other day talked about the isolationists in his own party, which is people who dare to suggest that maybe we need some kind of a negotiated settlement in Ukraine. The soft GOP like Mike Pence, the soft GOP like Chris Christie. It's as big a problem as the left for our side.
But it tells you, but it does speak volumes about how Trump is right about these rhinos. He's right about these squishy Republicans. Yep. This reveals everything you need to know about Congressman Mike Gallagher. And I'm back to the original question. Has anybody asked him what is your purpose in holding on for 10 days other than to stick it to the Republican Party? And if that's the truth, if that's the case, because now it leaves the House in a very precarious position, because now Republicans will have a razor-thin 217 to 214 advantage in the House. That means the GOP can only afford to lose one Republican vote in order to pass any measure. And again, if he would just have resigned a week and a half earlier, April 9th, And incidentally, how about his district? How'd you like to live in his district? They won't be represented now until election day.
Mm-hmm.
So for the rest of the year, that district does not have any representation because of the selfishness and the, I think Trump is right, the cowardness and the weakness of Mike Gallagher.
This
the guy's a disgrace. The guy's an absolute disgrace. There's no other way to describe it, Mark, unless there's some explanation.
So and I would tell, love to- yes, and you do this too. And we always want to be fair. Whenever we come down hard on somebody, it's like, please help us understand. If there's something that will get us off your back, please tell us what that is, so that we can get off your back. I want to like the guy.
I mean, and I know I am painfully aware that one of our colleagues has him on practically daily, and I'm not going to take pot shots at Hugh Hewitt. But the bottom line is, Hugh is the best, one of the best interviewers in the business. Hey, why don't you ask him? Ask him why you're waiting 10 days, and if the answer is what we think it is, that's reprehensible, Mark. That is it's here we go again with the Trump derangement syndrome. It's in their brains. It poisons them. There is, as you say, a binary choice now. You better, you know what, or get off the pot for the good of this country.
That's it.
And if we're going to have four more years of Oyster Bunny, if that's going to be our next 4 years, we're doomed. We are going to be in so much trouble. You saw the judge in Texas. Like I said, let every one of those illegals who stormed the border go. Let them all go.
Shocker.
They're all free now in the United States, going Lord knows where to do Lord knows what. I mean, this stuff is over and over and over again. Americans are either going to wake up or I'm not, I'm on a plane Friday. I'm going to go to Japan. I may check out some housing opportunities over there. I mean, I think I'd do very, now the language might be a problem, but with Google Translate, and I'm very excited about Google Translate, I'm going to carry that phone around with me. It is the coolest thing
now,
in the world.
Are we at the point now? I know where you can talk into the phone and it
you
will
talk into it, and then it talks.
And it just instantly does it for you, right?
Instantly in Japanese.
Yep.
It's the coolest thing. I've never seen anything like it. And I'm a nervous wreck about it because Google Translate. I've got, here it is. Look what I can do
I hope it's flawless so you don't turn to some Japanese cab driver and say, my earmuffs are on fire or something like that. I don't know, right?
It's time for the Mark and Mike experience. Okay, now.
Oh, Lord.
Sorry. Boom. Okay, now. And then? How do I play it?
Oh, no.
I don't know how to play it. Oh, this might be a problem.
I was afraid of this.
Makua sakoin hosoi.
No, I'll just stop it. Don't even try.
It's time for the Mark and Mike experience. Okay, now.
Why isn't it playing in Japanese?
I don't know.
All right. Well, it needs some work.
What's Japanese?
I'm
going to
wind up in a prison over there.
Exactly. You're going to say
American
talk show host says he has a bomb in his luggage. No, I was asking for the address of the hotel.
All I want to know is where the bathroom was. That's all I was asking. I know Ohio Gazimus. That's supposed to be, I think that's where's the bathroom. Or maybe that's thank
you. Okay. All right.
Ohio Gazimus. But this, I'm kind of excited about this trip. I'm going to go do some sightseeing.
Now, are you going to get out? I mean, Tokyo, I think, would just make my brain leak after like a day. I'd have to get out to Kyoto, out to the calmer.
Yes. I want to go to the temples. I want to see the cherry blossoms and all that. And you're bagging on me for going to Disney. Incidentally, I forgot to mention this to you yesterday. This happened while you were gone, too. Yeah. Did you see DeSantis officially beat Disney?
Complete victory. Absolutely.
A total victory. And guess what mainstream media isn't covering it? Ours. It's barely mentioned, but DeSantis absolutely beat them into submission.
Yep.
They cried uncle. The lawsuits are over. It's done. And DeSantis and the state of – the guy is the best. I know Greg Abbott's great. Ron DeSantis is a superstar of governors. I mean, this guy over and over again coming up with, I mean, getting homeless people off the street, getting them into facilities. He's making sure that gets done. I mean, my gosh.
Does it instill in you? It's kind of funny because when his actual presidential campaign fizzled, and it did, the VP running mate talk kind of fizzled with it because that's what happens. It's what have you done lately? But now as we are reminded of how just genuinely wonderful a governor he is, does the Trump DeSantis bumper sticker kind of, you know,
hey, it's my dream ticket. I don't know what he's
going to. It's pretty cool.
I guarantee you, I'm going to make one prediction. Trump is going to shock the world with whoever he picks. It's going to be the wildest choice. It's going to be something unconventional.
Well, I was going to say, in order to be, because I thought the same thing, because I often thought, because there's thought of DeSantis or Tim Scott or, you know, Sarah Sanders. I increasingly think it's going to be somebody that we're not even talking about.
I know. That's what I think. It's somebody, I told you the name that I got months ago, Lee Zeldin out of New York. Who knows?
But we're talking about him now. We've been talking about, you know.
I know.
He's kind of on the table. He's on the list.
So, yeah, but most people would say, who? What?
I know.
Lee Zeldin.
Former New York congressman and did well in the race for governor.
Tucker
60
Carlson.
60 seconds. Speaking of Tucker New York Carlson. Governors, Kathy Hochul shows up at the Jonathan Diller wake, the NYPD officer killed in a domestic by a repeat criminal who shouldn't have been on the street. Just once again, every bit of evidence
21
of
times.
New York is just not serious about law and order. And the governor, Kathy Hochul, shows up at the wake for the NYPD officer. One of two things is true. Number one, if the governor shows up, you show grace. It's always a kind of an honor for the governor to show up. Or number two, she's the problem and she should have been escorted out of the building, because that's what happened.
Well, that is what happened. Yeah. And if you lost a loved one to somebody who was arrested and let go 21 times, and then the governor who signed the law justifying and validating that policy wants to show up to your loved one's funeral, you got a right to say take a hike.
She wanted to speak, and AG Letitia James wanted to speak at the funeral. They were respectfully declined.
Remember when she got booed last week at an NYPD event?
Yep.
Imagine what happens if she stood up and tried to speak at the funeral of Officer Doe. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That would be nasty. All right. Onward and upward, my friend.
Ready to go.
I got 3 days. Countdown is on. 3 more days, and then I'm out of the country for my birthday.
That should. So, you floated the notion of doing like a 6:35 p.m. of calling us from Japan one day.
Right, because it's 7:30. It'll be 13 hours later. No, it's what time is it over there?
So it's 8:30. Alexa, what time is it in Tokyo?
In Tokyo, it's 9:54 p.m.
There you go. So it's
oh, yeah, I could do that before
14 hours plus. Oh, hang on a sec. Let's see if Alexa does what your phone wants. Hang on, stand by. Hang on. Alexa, how do you say "where's the bathroom" in Japanese?
Where is the bathroom in Japanese is? Toire wa doko?
There you go.
There we go. I'll just bring Alexa with me.
Carry an Alexa disc with you.
I mean, but no, I should pop in. We'll do a couple 7:35.
Right, listen,
Japan.
I'm totally teasing.
I don't mind. I don't mind. I mean, listen, I'm sure the phone will work. I'm going to be popping Ambien like TikTok. Because the stupid time zone difference, I'll be up when you're asleep.
Don't tease me, man. All right.
I'm telling you what.
Excellent,
all right, goodbye.
We're ready. Mike Gallagher today for the Tuesday show. As soon as we're done at 10 on 660 AM, The Answer. To take us out in the way, 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 way back machine, 1954, Count Basie and his orchestra, Splanky, which is just a fun should-be word in the English language. So as the count counts us off, I'll count on you to rejoin us on the other side. We'll bring up some things that Mike and I touched on and a few things I haven't brought up yet. 866-660-5759. It's a news-heavy week already. They're thinking of renaming an airport after Trump. Tell you how that's going to go. And as Mike mentioned, LSU, their women's basketball team, is catching some grief for their anthem antics. I thought we were done with all this, but apparently we're not. It's the Mark Davis Show, where no issue ever dies. 660 AM, The Answer. Stick around.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.